I think everybody will agree with me on this one. Getting older is tough. Does anybody agree with that? So, as you, a lot of you know, we play basketball in here on Sunday nights. And I've always thought of myself as a decent basketball player. And then I hit the age 40. And a lot of the people, by the way, we've had a really good time at this Sunday night thing. We've had 40 different people come through. The gender barrier has now been broken. My daughter and her friend came and played better than me. And when I'm guarding a lot of these people that are half my age and even younger than that, I'm guarding them, and my head knows what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm supposed to move my feet and stay in front of them. And so when they go and put the ball on the ground, and I can see them, they're about to drive around me, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to move my feet, right? Well, my feet seem to be stuck in quicksand. And as I finally get moving, they go by and make an easy layup. I didn't used to do that. I used to be able to move my feet quicker than that. And now, getting older, I can't do it like I used to. And it stinks, doesn't it? The things you used to be able to do. The fact of the matter is our bodies wear down the older we get because of sin. Because of our own sin, because of the sin in this world, our bodies wear down. And because of that sin, like I said when I read Romans 6:23, because of that sin, we will one day, of course, die. And death and dying is not a fun topic to talk about. It's not an easy topic to talk about. But that's exactly what we're looking at here in the Bible passage for today from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. So let's take a look at that. I'm going to go verses by verses here. The first couple verses say this in John chapter 11. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So the thing that jumps out to me right here is this unique detail that John includes here. Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, why would he include that little detail there? Well, the body would definitely by this time had begun to stink. And that's the first thing on your sheets. The thing we learn about with death is death stinks. And I mean that in both ways. Not just the smell, but it stinks. It's not a fun thing to deal with. Now, a little context to this is helpful, because John points out that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, if we go back earlier in chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, we find something interesting here. It says Jesus heard, because Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus, who wasn't too far away, to tell him that Lazarus, his good friend, is dying. He's very sick. Can you please come and heal him? Because they knew what Jesus could do. And this is what happens, or what happened here in verses 4 through 6. When Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Why would Jesus, who just finds out that his good friend is dying, needs attention, he decides to stay 2 more days where he was at before he goes to see Lazarus? Why would Jesus do that? Jesus waiting those 2 days doesn't mean that Jesus didn't care. Jesus knew what he came to do. And Jesus knew that the time was getting closer to do what he came to do, which was to go to the cross and die for each and every one of our sins. He knew that it was coming. Lazarus' illness and eventual death would help accelerate what was going to happen to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said there in verse 4, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. It being Lazarus is death. And what's also going to happen, we will talk more about this next Sunday on Palm Sunday, is this event of Jesus late raising Lazarus from the tomb is going to really accelerate the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders to want to get Jesus. Because you see, ultimately, Jesus is in charge of everything that's going on here. So Lazarus's illness is going to be used for big things and his eventual death. So what can we take from this here? Well, God can work good through death or through any kind of tragic event. It may seem horrible to us. It's not fun to lose a loved one. It's not fun to have something horrible happen in your family or with your friends or in your life. But God can use it and bring good through it. God can make all things good, even the most tragic of tragic events, which is exactly what he was going to do with Lazarus dying. He will eventually raise Lazarus from the tomb. More believers will come and believe in Jesus because of this miraculous miracle. And it'll get the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders mad and angry. And they realize they gotta take Jesus out. So let's move on in the text. Verses 20 and 21 of chapter 11. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Interesting tidbit here. Another fascinating detail that John gives us. Did you notice it? Mary stayed at home. Martha's the one that ran out to meet Jesus. This is interesting to me because Mary is the one that sat at Jesus' feet when Jesus came another time to visit Mary, Martha, and Lazarus to listen to Jesus' teaching while Martha was the one running around getting everything ready. Remember that event? Well, Mary this time sits this one out. She stays sitting in the house. And I can't help but think that the reason she is doing this, is it possible that Mary was not very pleased with Jesus for waiting an extra 2 days to come to their help? Maybe she's a little miffed at him. She didn't want to go out and talk to him. So Martha did it. You know, she's thinking, why, Jesus, would you wait another 2 days? We gave you plenty of warning. Why didn't you come and heal our brother? You know, Mary was probably devastated, obviously, sad, angry, upset. All those emotions we all go through when we lose a loved one. And maybe she is doing a little bit of blaming Jesus for this happening. And so the next thing we learn here about death is hard. It's not easy. It's not fun. It's not easy to deal with when we lose a loved one. And sometimes it just flat out doesn't seem fair when we lose a loved one. How, Jesus, how can you let this happen? Have you ever acted or reacted like Mary and weren't happy with Jesus when your loved one was not healed and ended up dying? Have you ever maybe blamed God? Felt like it wasn't fair? What this all boils down to is we just simply can't always understand the ways of God. And it's sometimes helpful to remind ourselves he is God and we are not. But you know, Jesus doesn't lack emotion here. Jesus knows death is hard. He knows it's not fun. And remember, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God at all times. He experienced all human emotions that we experience. He knew how hard it was going to be when his own death came. Let's fast forward to next week. Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus praying in the garden to God, if at all possible, is there another way, God, to deal with this? You see, Jesus knew, because he's God, how horrible of a death he was going to experience. And he knew, because he was 100% human, he was going to suffer through a lot. Jesus indeed does not take death lightly. He knows what we're going through when we suffer, when we lose a loved one. But Jesus also knew that he had to be the one that shed his blood on that cross for us. Because you see, he was carrying literally the weight of the world, every single sin that you and I have committed. Could you imagine if we just counted up all the sins of everybody in here? That would be astronomical, right? Now, take everybody's sins that's ever lived in the world. They were all on Jesus' shoulders. And he had to be the one that shed his blood to cover those sins. But you know, we also know that Jesus cares and mourns with us and understands what it's like to lose somebody. We can go further in this John chapter 11, verse 35. I have it on the screen. One of the shortest, if not the shortest verse in the Bible, you probably already know it. Jesus wept. He was overcome with sorrow. You see, he was close with Lazarus, and he saw all the other people mourning and crying and weeping, and he was overcome too, because he cares about us when we go through things. He loves us that much. When you are suffering, he weeps along with you. He's by your side. Let's go on in our passage here, verses 22 through 26. I have them on the screen. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, this is Martha speaking, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is a great question, not just for Martha, for each and every one of us. And the next bullet on your outlines, death is not the end. And we get one of the most comforting statements from Jesus, maybe the most comforting statement, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, this was a major statement from Jesus. In the last of the I am statements, he says, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am. And this is the seventh one that he says here in the book of John. I am the resurrection and life. You see, I am is the name of God himself. So Jesus is telling us, yes, he is God, and he is the resurrection and the life. Yes, because of our sin, we will die. But look at what Jesus says in John 11, 11. This is before all of this that I read to you. He says this, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. I go to awaken him because he's just asleep. You see, when Jesus comes back, and he will, because he keeps all of his promises. And for those of us that have already passed, we're simply sleeping, which entails what? We will awaken, and Jesus will come and awaken us on that last day. Death is indeed not the end at all. We're just asleep. Let's look at the last verse here, verse 27. After Jesus asks that question, do you believe this? And Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. A very, very bold confession from Martha, an amazing confession. My hope and prayer is that you can, each and every one of you can say the exact same thing. Yes, Jesus, we do believe that you are the resurrection and life. And we know that you're coming back. We know that our death is not the end, and you're simply going to awaken us. You see, death stinks for us while we're here in this sin-filled world. It's not fun. There's no question about it. And it's okay to mourn and to be sad when we lose a loved one. But it really doesn't stink to Jesus, because he's coming to awake us all of us believers, to take us to be with him in heaven forever. And I have another verse up on the board for you. And this is from 1 Corinthians, and I love this. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus took the sting out of death with his own death. Jesus defeated death on that cross once and for all. And because God now sees each and every one of you through what Jesus did on the cross for you, you will rise again. You will simply awaken again. And we will all be with Jesus face to face in heaven forever. And you will be reunited with all of your loved ones that have gone on before. And we will all party. We will make the 25th anniversary party look like marbles when we are in heaven. And that's how great our God is. Am I right? Amen. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, you know that death is hard. And I pray that you be with us when we do suffer through those times. Be right by our side, comforting us. And especially today, we ask that you continue to be with the Reckaway family who lost Ken this past week. Continue to comfort them with these words that you are the resurrection and the life. And Father, we pray for all those that are in the hospital. Please be with them, heal them, be by their side, comforting them as well. Be with all those who are suffering cancer and all the other illness, all the other prayer requests that we have on our prayer cross out here in the hall. We don't always know all the details, but we don't need to know, because you do. We pray that you be with all of them. Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to take care of all of these sins for us. As we get close to Holy Week, we pray that you continue to help us keep our eyes fixed on you, and to be reminded of what Jesus did and went through for us. We now pray the prayer that he himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.